This is KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food. Last month, I explored the delight that is food cooperatives. I visited Isla Vista Food Co-op, which has been in operation since 1973, and Slow Natural Foods, operating since 1979. The concept of food co-ops has evolved since the 1970s. It's still about memberships and buying foods from local growers, but it's now no longer members only, and though bulk buying still features, the concept has expanded to incorporate the emerging social justice issues around food, like food miles, meaning buy local, organic and pesticide-free produce, and fairly traded products. I spoke with Gwen Schmidt, General Manager of Slow Natural Foods Co-op, and also the team at Isla Vista Food Cooperative, Marissa Bragstad, Outreach Manager, and Steve Snyder, Merchandising Manager. Here's a bit of what they told me last month.
A cooperative is owned by individual people in the community who all have an equal share in the business and all benefit from the resources that the co-op provides. We exist to provide resources for the community and fulfill the community's needs.
I think the cooperatives have moved way past the hippie movement now. We still have some old hippies that shop here.
It is San Luis, so.
Yeah, it is San Luis, so. People are becoming more and more aware of where their food comes from and how important it is to shop local and shop at a place where you can trust that your produce doesn't have any pesticides. And we're all about sustainability, working with local. I like to say we do local better.
Cooperative Grocery, as we do it here at Isla Vista, is a grocery store. This business was not put into the community by someone who wanted to make money off the community. This business was created by the community for itself, expressly for the purpose of providing access to the highest quality food, but also the food that the community itself wanted. That's kind of the nature of cooperatives in general. It's a community coming together and saying, this isn't being provided to us in the format or the way that we want it, and so we're going to do it ourselves.
Food co-ops have certainly evolved from the one my mom used to take me to that was a small building with a lot crammed into it, slightly dark with narrow aisles, and smelled funny. But exploring these two food co-ops was similar to when I was 7 or 8 years old, in that it was a kind of an adventure to explore the aisles. I explored the aisles at Isla Vista and Slow, and here's a little montage of what you heard last month.
My name is Tatiana Zamosa, and I'm the bulk buyer here, and I also make the grab-and-go foods.
We can start here in the bulk because that is something that is unique to co-ops, where you can bring your own packaging and weigh it and then fill it. And you'll see a lot of unusual seeds that way, and grains in particular. If you turn around this way, what you don't see in other stores but you'll find at co-ops is that we have bulk items like oils, or tamari, which is a type of a soy sauce, or honey.
Now, I see that you have refried beans mix, and it's not wet.
Right. It's a dry, yeah.
Instant refried beans.
Yeah, instant. Yeah, you can use them. Many people come in to use them for their hikes.
Sacha Inchi is a fairly new thing that I'm not sure how well known it is now. We've had it for, it's a little while now, like a year, maybe more than a year. Super high in protein, really fascinating flavor. You can grind your own peanut butter and your own almond butter right here in the store. We sell a surprising quantity of both peanut butter and almond butter. These machines, they're not running right now, which is surprising because usually they're running all day long.
In our co-op, we have something that is called camel milk that is just now being offered to the public in America.
Oh, I almost forgot. What do the shoppers think? Back in Isla Vista, two students and a local resident were doing their Friday shopping.
Oh, okay, what am I going to buy? I didn't even think about it. This is on the spot. Well, I'll probably get some yogurt and granola because I want breakfast. It's really convenient to go to these bulk bins. It's cheaper than buying packaged granola. It's also more environmentally friendly. My favorite is this strawberry vanilla hemp granola. And it's on sale, wow. Perfect. Now this is the tricky part, because they always have co-op deals, which is really cool. And that's 3 for $4, but, Nikechi, which one should I get? Well, I guess since I have strawberry, I should get no flavor. I'm gonna get plain total 2% Greek yogurt. It's not local yogurt.
Cool. I'm not, like, shaming you.
No, no, it's fine. I'm like, dang, I guess I didn't get the local yogurt.
I'm just gonna get the, like, bagels they have here, and then they have a really nice, like, beet hummus. Hummus made out of beets and other things like that. And then they also have a really good, like, corn and bean salad that I really, really love. And it is local. I mean, it is made here. So that's it.
It's Bianca Davila. And I'm a senior, and I wouldn't...
A senior at UCSB?
No. Oh, don't I wish. Oh, you got great humor. I love this, ma'am. Anyway, dear, no, I'm a senior, 77 years old, and I shop here all the time because it's the only food that I can eat, really. My grandmother had an organic garden, and I've been eating well. I'm a Greek, and I have a Mediterranean diet. And I'm a really vegan, but once in a while I'll have tuna or something. This place, it is gifted. The people that work here, I can't say enough about it. It's friendly, everything's compact, everything I need is here. I like the people, I sit and have fun, I meet a lot of young people who inspire me and keep me going. And the prices, I get discounts because I'm a senior, and that's really good, and I'm a member, so I get an extra 10% every so often. I just can't imagine the community without this place. I really mean that. The events they have, the people they draw, they really care about all ages and all cultures and whatever. It's a place where everyone really wants to come and have some lunch or breakfast or shop.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man?
It's time for me to check out unique and unusual foodstuffs in the maze of aisles. I got tours of both stores, and then I did some shopping of my own. The stores were brightly lit as any normal grocery store, and the aisles were a bit wider than I remember. Two people could be exploring the shelves on opposite sides of the aisle without it turning into a scene in a Nora Ephron chick flick. For my own playing with food, I'm going to try this Sacha Inchi. It being the new superfood and not local, it's obviously kind of expensive, so I'll just get a little bit. Just because it sounds really interesting, I'm going to try the Jade Pearl Rice, which is this mint green color. And I'm going to try Forbidden Rice, because one would think that a priest shouldn't have something called Forbidden Rice. And it's forbidden, and human beings always want something that's forbidden, so I'm going to get that as well. Steve says he has the best chocolates in Santa Barbara County, so I'm going to get some of it.
I recommend these beans.
Why?
No, it just tastes like magic.
That's the chocolate rainbow drops. They taste like magic.
Yeah, I'm going to sneak right in front of you.
My favorite is probably the dark chocolate coconut chews.
Oh, there's no chocolate pecan caramel chews. Oh, there's almond ones, though. Okay.
The almond ones are also good.
And I'm going to get a basket of mulberries.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Are you a member of this?
I'm not a member.
Do you need a bag for this trip?
I don't. I went out and got my bag from the car.
Awesome.
I'm here with Hannah. Do you like working here, Hannah?
Oh, I love it. So much fun.
How long have you been working here?
I think this is my second year. Yeah, I've been here for a while. Yes, I shop here all the time.
At Slow Natural Foods, I picked up some organic brown rice syrup. I'm pretty keen on trying a different type of pecan pie, one that is actually healthy, delicious, and sustainable for my nut-free friends. I actually had a fun time playing in the co-op, finding all sorts of new and interesting foods. Now it's time to start playing with food. I've got Steve's chocolates, the best in Santa Barbara County, mulberries, which I haven't had since I was a kid, two kinds of rice, this bean thing that tastes like a nut called sacha inchi, and brown rice syrup. Let's get into the kitchen.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that
the rainbow chocolates that I got from the co-op in Isla Vista look exactly like those chocolate drops with the candy-coated shell that we are so familiar with. The shades of colors tend to be a little bit more muted, not as bright, but they're about the same size. Let's taste them. They're much nicer than the mass-produced ones. And it's simply because the candy shell is not as sugary, and the chocolate's very chocolatey. It's like real chocolate. It's not this over-processed chocolate that we get in the over-processed world. It's really nice. Let me try one of these caramel pecan chocolates, because chewy caramel and dark chocolate is my favorite combination. Throw some nuts in there, and I'm still perfectly happy. The caramel's very chewy, which I like. The chocolate's neither too dark to be bitter or too milky to not have enough chocolate in it. It's very nutty, and it's, frankly, very delicious. I haven't eaten a mulberry since I was a kid. They're kind of intimidating because they look like dark purplish black worms, and the stems are still on them, so that doesn't make them look any better. But they are delicious, so I'm going to taste one by itself. You have to kind of pull it off the stem with your lips, and you're left with this thing that does look like a worm. It's not as sweet as the other berries, like raspberries, blackberries, but it's distinctly berry. What I wanted to do is make a berry salad with some of it and then put some of it on cheese, but that's gonna be hard because of the stem in the middle. Let me see if I can scrape it off. So what I did is I pushed it around with a knife until I could get the stem in the middle out of it. I put it on a piece of toast that has some triple cream cheese on it, this bloomy rind brie-like cheese. That's a really nice combination. The sharp saltiness of the soft cheese enhances the flavor of the mulberry. And because the mulberry isn't sweet, which you usually have when you have fruit and cheese, you have a balance between sweet and maybe, in this case, pungent and salty, it's more kind of married together rather than balancing flavors. It's a really nice combination. My idea is to make a cocktail out of them. I can't believe I'm going to do this just for a handful of mulberries, but I got out my food mill, which is an attachment to my standing mixer. Now, if any of you have a standing mixer and any of the attachments, you know that the attachments are very handy, but it's very cumbersome and a lot of dishes after you've done it. But that's what I'm going to do with the mulberries and make myself a pre-dinner cocktail. Right. A whole basket of mulberries produced about a third to a half of a cup of juice. That's the thing with berries. There's a lot of stem, there's a lot of seeds, but now I have this pure juice. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shake it with this caviar lime flavored vodka that, if you remember back in October, playing with food was about Central Coast craft spirits. So I have the American Star caviar lime flavored vodka. I'm going to shake that with some ice and put a little sugar in there to sweeten it up a little bit, because neither of these have a lot of sugar in them. I'm going to strain it into a champagne flute, and then I'm going to top it up with sparkling water. If I would have been thinking about this earlier, I had that nice Muscat sparkling wine from when I did the wine and chocolate tasting in my first episode in September. I don't have any more of that because I drank it last weekend with my family. Having a sip. It's very much to my liking because I didn't put very much sugar in it. So this is very nice. You can taste the fruit, there's a hint of lime, and there are just enough bubbles. Don't let me down. I have jade pearl rice and black rice from the co-op in Isla Vista. I was originally going to try to make a rice salad with the two different rices and the mulberries and maybe some pine nuts, but the mulberries, there's the stem that goes all the way through the mulberry. The jade pearl rice is this emerald green, or jade green if you will. It looks like it's cracked a little bit, and it's green because it's infused with bamboo extract. What I've decided to do is make them into sort of a tostada. I'm going to boil each rice separately, and then I'm going to fry each one of them into a very thin patty like a crispy tortilla, and then I'm going to top them with a variety of things, and eat them like a tostada. And to do this could be really helpful in the future because both my dad and my brother are allergic to wheat, and my sister-in-law is celiac, and my brother is also allergic to corn. But also, like I said, I want to be able to taste the rice. So here I go. I'm going to start with boiling them. I don't know how long it takes to cook them because they didn't come in packages, they came in bulk, so I'm just going to have to guess. The rices are cooked. I've tasted each one of them. The black rice is really interesting because it's got this deep, dark flavor. It's kind of like raw oatmeal. And the jade rice has a grassy taste, a fresh cut grass type of taste, very distinctive flavors. I'm going to make 2 jade rice patties, 2 black rice patties, and 2 mixed black and jade rice patties. The frying, of course, changed the flavors and just made it, I can't even describe it. It's beautiful. It's tasty. I can hardly wait to make these little tostadas that I'm going to make. 3 types of rice patties, the rice tortillas, rice tostadas, are out of the pan, and now I'm going to top them. The reason I made 2 of each is because I have 2 different types of toppings that I'm going to do. I'm going to do a beet and potato puree with finely diced red bell pepper, red radish, red onion, celery, and carrot. It's like a deconstructed borscht, and I'm going to sprinkle some sage powder and some ground black pepper on it. The other 3 are going to have an avocado puree with tomato, jalapeno, green onion, and shrimp, and I'm going to finish it off with a sprinkle of paprika, a sprinkle of New Mexico chili powder, a garnish of cilantro, then a squeeze of lime. I have 2 plates of food in front of me with 6 rice patties with 2 different toppings on them. I don't even know where to start. I think I'm gonna start with the jade rice cake with the beet puree. The whole thing's very nice. The last thing to touch my tongue was the rice cake, and it is very subtle and very light. It has a nutty flavor on top of the grassy flavor, so the grassy flavor didn't go away when I fried it. The beet goes really well, and all of the stuff on top goes really well together, but they also go really well on this jade rice cake. Next is the rice cake of jade and black rice. It is actually a different flavor because of the 2 rices mixed together. There's a nuttiness, there's an earthiness, and there's grass. The black rice one is definitely different. They all taste spectacular because the stuff on top of them is spectacular. I would say that the jade rice is an appetizer that I would make in the spring, and I'd make the exact same appetizer with the black rice for the fall. Now let's see how it works with avocado puree and shrimp. The flavors are all balanced. I can't say which of these rice patties is better than the other. They're all very delicious. With these nifty Sacha Inchi seeds, I've decided to make a pecan pie. They taste very nutty, even though they're a seed. Not only am I going to use the Sacha Inchi seeds that I got from Isla Vista Co-op, I'm going to use the Sweet Dreams Organic Brown Rice Syrup that I got from the San Luis Obispo Co-op. After chopping the nuts, I mixed an egg, sugar, salt. I used the rice syrup instead of light corn syrup, melted butter, vanilla extract. Now I'm going to put the Sacha Inchi seeds into the pie crust. My pie is ready. It's golden on top. Looks beautiful. I liked everything that I made. The pecan pie made with Sacha Inchi beans was really good. It was much less sweet than real pecan pie, and it's perfect for people with nut allergies.
Oh, no.
But I would be proud.
But I would be proud.
To partake.
To partake.
Of your pecan pie.
Of your pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
The future birth of a new food co-op in Paso Robles was the impetus for today's show, but we haven't heard from Greg Ellis, board president of Paso Food Co-op. Let's hear his story.
I think it's just a fascinating business structure to begin with. I've shopped at this co-op since I came to Cal Poly over almost 15 years ago. I was looking for really good food, and the food here is stuff that you don't find in the regular grocery stores. It's small labels, batch produced. You know that somebody really put a lot of love into making the food that you buy here. As far as the co-op business model, I think that it's really a beautiful thing. The store is owned by its members, but anyone can come in and shop. The members, though, get discounts. Currently, many co-ops are moving towards year-end rebates, where based on how much you shop, you get a refund at the end of the year. You know, there's a lot of opportunities to participate in the store. My wife is on the board of the Slow Natural Foods Co-op, and as a member, I can vote in decisions. When they make decisions, I often get an email or I am polled. They have little events here that we can come to and find out more about the producers. You walk in the store and there's pictures of the farmers who are people that I've met around the community. It's a really wholesome, community-oriented business.
You look more hipster than hippie, but when you started coming here, when you came to Cal Poly, did you come here because of the ethos, because of the products they offered, or because somebody told you to come?
I think it was a combination of all of those. This co-op used to be in a much smaller location, so there was a lot of just the aesthetic of the place. It was a close, like the aisles, you had to kind of like slip past another person if they were in the aisle. You couldn't walk shoulder to shoulder. And it was just, it had a good feel to it, and it really gave the grocery shopping an experience. The produce was cheaper. The items that I like to buy were cheaper here than they were at Albertsons, if I could even find them there. Paso Robles is starting its own food co-op. We like what's going on here. We've all been shoppers or members of other co-ops around the country. We want to bring that to our community. So in November, we really launched a new membership drive. We need to raise 500 members who buy in to the co-op and give us the initial startup capital. We're currently at about 100 members. A lot has changed since the first wave of co-ops came along in the 70s. Back then, co-ops started as buy-in clubs. Well, that wheel has been invented, and so one thing they've realized is that starting as a buy-in club, you don't have the initial kind of capital and oomph to really get a good-sized store going that really allows you the margins to compete with the mainstream. Nowadays, the trend is to really raise the capital first and open a minimum-sized store so that you have the store, you get more shoppers, you get more people involved, food is less expensive, and you're really investing in the food community. We're hoping to open within about 2 years. We're raising members pretty quickly. We had a great concert last night, Hype Night, we called it, and we had a few members sign up and got the word out. We have some more people interested in volunteering with our startup group. Energy is high. Right now, we have a pretty detailed business plan that lays out the full costs of what it takes to go into a 5,000 to 8,000 square foot space, really, you know, renovate it well, make it appealing so that people want to come in there, hire the right staff that we need to start it up, buy the initial equipment and shelving, buy the initial stock as well. So
you're thinking about just doing it?
Yeah, we're going to try to do it. And we've already done a feasibility study that shows that Paso has the demographics to support a co-op. We could, you know, support $1 million or more in gross revenues a year. Gwen has been very supportive. The whole Slow Natural Foods board has really opened up their business to us. They've given us an inside look at what an operating co-op does, how the finances look, how they're making decisions. They've given us backstage tours of their store. They've let us traipse around here measuring the place. Just really supportive. And we've actually created a little informal partnership to begin with. We're offering our members who join at the full cost a year-long membership to their store. So we'll buy them a year membership here so they can come down and get a feel of what a store would be, kind of excite their imagination a little. You know, it's all pretty new to me. Our entire group is really just discontented shoppers. We don't have grocery backgrounds, but we're picking ourselves up by our bootstraps. We're listening to the experts. We're getting a lot of external advice from state and national co-op startup groups. It's all a little scary right now, but we're having faith that the process will work itself out step by step.
Do you feel that you personally or the board has all the skills available to them for, you know, the merchandising end and working with the producers, but also the business end of crunching numbers?
You know, at this point, the composition of our board really has a lot of people who are good at marketing, which is just what we need right now. Really tragically, we had our CFO, our accountant, passed away last month from bladder cancer. So we really are trying to fill that vacuum. Fortunately, we don't have a lot of number crunching to do right now. We have a business plan in place. In the future, in the next 6 months, we're going to need some more skills to come in and really support that development though. We're also doing an event series called Local Bites, and that is just a pop-up monthly event where we go find a local producer, we spotlight them. Last month, we spotlighted a couple of farmers up in Studios on the Park. We had a nice little one-hour event where the farmers sampled their products to the public. We did some promotion. We're trying to do as much as we can to share the spirit of the co-op before we have a physical location.
Sounds like an enormous undertaking, but it's also a bit like the church. Getting people to share your beliefs that there is a better way of life and coming together as a community to support that and to spread the word. So Greg, if you're listening, I know what you're going through. The food co-op experience was a fun and positive one, and I've decided to buy my produce from the co-op. I'm not quite ready to be a member though, and I'm not quite ready for the camel's milk. We'll see how it goes. Maybe one day, after I've found myself a part of the co-op shopping community, running into other regulars, I might get to the place where Isla Vista shopper Errol Green is.
I shop at the co-op because I like the food here, and I also live at a co-op, and I like collectives, and they're really active in the community, and it's a good grocery store to put my money into. Here comes the
sun. That says it all. Here comes the sun. It's all right. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food. It's all right.